216. Worship day. I guess I don't need two microphones. I'll just use one. Isaiah 9, you know, is the beautiful prophecy about, for a child unto us is born, for unto us a son is given. And if we look at verse 2, it says this in Isaiah 9, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." What a beautiful, beautiful promise that the light of Jesus Christ has shone upon each one of us. And now the question is, what do we do with that light? Well, of course, today, this morning, we come together to praise God for that light, to dwell in that light, be energized by that light, and then to take that light forward. Welcome to all on Zoom this morning, and welcome, of course, to each one who's here for our worship services. Do we have any greetings this morning? No greetings. I want to yes. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Brother Mike. So Ken and Violetta would be sending their greetings here. So that's wonderful. We miss them. Becky and I will be in Delaware next Sunday for Christmas. So we really regret to miss our Christmas service here next Sunday together. But it most likely, of course, only the Lord knows, but will probably be our last Sunday Christmas together, I should say, in Delaware. We have two boys coming to be with us over the holidays. Updates on medical problems or specific prayer requests this morning from anyone? We've been praying for little Luke Taba from Windsor, and I just received an update on him. Thankfully, he's doing better, but he still is not able to fully take in nourishment. Has to be fed through a tube and all of that. So please continue to pray for him. He's not out of the woods yet, but seeing some improvement. Janet?
I'm having an MRI tomorrow. I have some hearing loss in my left ear, and they want to know why.
Okay. Okay, so please keep Janet in prayer for an okay, so keep Janet in prayer for an MRI. Also, some have asked me about my cousin Mike, and he was on the prayer request list as well. And I'm thankful to report that he's home from the hospital, and he is doing well from his heart attack. So thank everyone who prayed for him. Nothing else on that. So we have on the schedule that we will be Christmas caroling following lunch. I'm just asking for any details that anyone is aware of specifically. Not at this point. Maybe at lunch we could have that discussion as to whether or not we'll go to Uncle Carl's and so forth. Okay, so we'll defer that discussion as far as the Christmas caroling to lunchtime. And, of course, our midweek Bible study. Are we still on this Wednesday? I can't remember. Was this, we're on a break now? We had decided to take a break, but maybe that was just the week between Christmas and New Year. I'm trying to remember.
And the week right after.
Okay. Well, whatever your pleasure is, we're happy to do that.
We'll have it.
Okay. So 8 o'clock via Zoom, as well as here for Acts 20. We'll be in Acts 20. Coat Drive is doing quite well. If you glance to your right, you'll see, almost 300 coats there. I think we began the day, Johanna, where at 255. We've had about 20 today, I think. We had 6 and then 12 more that came in. So we're doing quite well. Thank the Lord for that. And that's another prayer request. Continue to pray. Continue to pray that each person that comes here, maybe, just maybe, the Lord will place in their heart a desire to come back, or even just to call our phone number and make a request for a prayer on their behalf or what have you. But it's a wonderful outreach opportunity. For Mike. Good. Good. Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. So one person, according to Brother Mike, did express an interest in coming back. We received a Christmas card from Nepo Children's Home, so we'll probably have that posted on the bulletin board so you can all look at it. And Sister Elsa has indicated that the year-end contributions, if any, for the foundation should be to her by next Sunday at the very latest. I'm just looking here. I think that's... next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and we'll have normal Sunday, but we will not have services on Christmas Day, which is the next day on Monday. So there's no Zoom, no service on Monday, Christmas Day, but we will have normal worship day on next Sunday. And did I miss anything? I brought a Zion's harp with me up to the podium so I wouldn't forget that we need to announce another hymn. And I had one selected here. It's 216, number 216. And let's just sing the first two verses of 216. Did we just sing that? Oh, that's why I had it open, I guess. All right, then, 217. Two verses. That's all we have there, but 217, please.
Thank you. Good morning. Nice to see so many smiling faces. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts that you have brought us to this place, that we can rest away from the cares of this world and focus on you. We thank you for what we've already learned in Bible class and how we need to be the citizens you have called us to be in your heavenly kingdom. And now we pray that as we open your word, that you would teach us from it to show us the joy that you alone can bring. We pray for the many that are hurting, that are in difficult places right now. We ask that you would be with them, comfort them even through their difficult times. And we also pray for those who didn't come here today, whether they were not feeling well or they chose not to come. We pray for them also, that you would speak to their hearts for their need, their deep need to know you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great love in coming down to this earth to be with us, to teach us, to die for us, to live for us, to give us true joy. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So, the four Sundays before Christmas are considered Advent season. And they anticipate the arrival of Jesus Christ first, 2,000 years ago, but also anticipate his second coming. Each of those Sundays has a theme: hope, peace, joy, and love. Today, we'll look at joy. And I was thankful that we started the day with two different hymns, both having the word joy in them. So that was really nice. So, what is joy? Webster says, joy is a lively emotion of happiness, delight, and pleasure. LinkedIn has seven character qualities of a joyful person. They are optimistic versus pessimistic. They see the glass as half full versus a glass as half empty. They savor life. They experience joy now. They choose to be joyful regardless of their circumstances. They are spiritually grounded. I thought that was an interesting one. They have faith that there is more to life than what we can see. There's something beyond just what we see in front of us. And according to a 2019 study in England, they are spiritually grounded people are twice as happy as those that are not. That was interesting. Joyful people have family and friends. Relationships matter. They have goals. They have an attitude of gratitude. They are thankful even during difficult times. And they are helpful and generous. They feel that there is a great joy in giving to others. What's missing from this list? Money. Material things. That's not anywhere considered when they did this study into what gives people joy. That was very good. But what's the biblical definition of joy? Well, in Galatians 5, we read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." It is a fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to live within a person, part of what that Holy Spirit does is create joy within that person. The Greek word for translated joy typically is chara. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. And it's translated both joy, joyful, rejoice, and gladness. Joy is a byproduct of having a strong and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. A related word is chairo. It's translated rejoice, glad, farewell, greeting, hail, and Godspeed. Let me just read two of those verses. In Luke 1:26, and the angel came in unto her, meaning Mary, and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." That word hail is that Greek word that's translated, that is another word for rejoice. So when the angel said that to them, to Mary, he said, "Rejoice, be joyful, because you have been chosen." And then in James 1:1, it says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." What's he saying? That word greeting is rejoice. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, rejoice. He's telling them to be joyful, even though they are scattered abroad. So, questions to ask ourselves. What brings joy to your life? What takes joy out of your life? So what brings joy to my life? Since I know myself best, I'll answer that question. Anything that brings a smile to my face gives me joy. Seeing all the people walk into church these Sundays, bringing coats, brings a smile to my face and a joy to my heart that we have such a giving community to be willing to donate all of these coats. It boggles my mind. I mean, we've done it now for 3 years. The first year we had a really good number. I think last year wasn't as many, but this I think is going to be topping it. And you would think people would be enough. You know, there's enough coats to give away. We're done. No, but they keep finding more. That's fantastic. Seeing my children and grandchildren gives me joy. My life just brightens up when they come, especially because they don't live nearby. And so this morning I went outside and got the newspaper, and a neighbor walked by, and I asked her how her Hanukkah was, and she said, "Very nice," and she asked, we had a small talk, and then I said, "Nobody's coming, they came on Thanksgiving," and she goes, "It's great when they come, but it's also great when they leave." And I had to agree with her. You know, it brings me joy when they show up, and then on Saturday after Thanksgiving when they left, it gave us joy even more because the house was quiet. Something silly. Jonathan coming home from work, 6:30, whatever, he walks to the door and goes, "Hi!" I mean, that just lightens my life that he is so joyful to come home. Now, I'll have to be honest, and he'll be honest too. Not every day is a joyful day at work. You know, especially when they do, you know, literally, I've gone there, and I mean, they are busy like that. I don't see I could do that job at all in terms of serving customers literally hour after hour. But, you know, so I'm thankful that he comes home and is so joyful. What brings me joy? Cheryl's smiling at me. I could be outside working in the yard. She's at a window doing something, and she looks at me and she smiles. That gives me joy. Even though I'm doing this drudgery work of mowing the lawn or whatever, it gives me joy to see that. music. Music gives me great joy. I just put a few songs. I remember in 2009, Dad was not doing good. I was going to work, and on the radio, Chris Tomlin sang, "I Will Rise." And that song just brought so much joy to my heart. Sorrow, because I know Dad was going to leave us soon, but joy at the same time, because he was going to rise and be with Jesus. And then there's other songs too. I mean, My Redeemer Lives. I mean, those songs have such powerful lyrics. Christmas carols. They are just, put a joy in my heart when I listen to them and be able to sing them. Last night, we watched the Kitchener Choir doing their Messiah. It was fantastic. And if you haven't watched it, go to their website, click on the live stream history, and you'll be able to watch it. I wish I had a copy of what the conductor said before they sang. He probably mentioned the word joy a dozen times in what he said. So if you do anything, go and listen to it and listen to the words that he said and how much joy is involved in the Messiah. And then just in general, a choir smiling. That brings me joy. So, what takes joy out of my life? Well, the number one thing is when I see sin. Not necessarily in my life. Obviously, if it's in my life, that's bad, and that diminishes my. But when I see blatant sin in other people's lives, it just brings me. It takes the joy out of my life. When I see believers not doing the right thing, that also takes joy out of my life. And then when Cheryl is not smiling at me, that takes joy out of my life. And it comes to mind that somewhere in the 80s, when the kids were probably all under 10, I came home once. I was happy, joyful to be home with my family. I come in the door, and I forget exactly how it happened. She'll probably remember it better than I do because she experienced it more than I did. She said, "Here!" I don't know what happened. So you can ask her at lunchtime. But it was definitely joyful, joy defeating for me to have that. They were just, really difficult kids that day and took the joy out of her life and as a result, the joy out of my life. And then Thursday, this past Thursday, we talked about people who need prayer and we all need prayer. And my medical issues are minuscule compared to what others are going through. But I had cataract surgery in August and September. Things appeared to be going well. And then when I went back to the doctor in October, I think it was, ready for getting my script for glasses. I did cataract so I could read without glasses. Distance, I can't read words. I mean, I know the clock is there. I can't see the numbers. I can recognize people, but I can't. I can't find out. So I need glasses for distance. Anyway, I went to the doctor to get a script. And then in the process of the conversation, I said, but my right eye just doesn't feel right. I don't know what's wrong with it. So she had some tests done. She looked at the results and said, "You need to see our retina specialist." So we made an appointment. So no script, no glasses. We made an appointment with the retina specialist. He looked at it. He goes, "You have ocular edema in your right eye. It's a swelling, and that has to be done away with before you can get a script. Okay? And so prescribed two different eye drops, four times a day. You don't know how much I hated eye drops. I still don't like them, but I can tolerate them now. Anyway, so went through that on my right eye, went back Thursday to say, okay, how's my right eye doing? And I knew something was not going right with my left eye, which was fine 6 weeks before. And so I saw that they had me do a whole bunch of different tests, including giving me intravenous so that something would flow into my eyes and show up on the tests. And sure enough, the tests show the right eye is very nice. The left eye, ocular edema in the left eye now. So now I've got the drops for the left eye, even though it was perfectly fine 6 weeks ago. Who knows why? All I know is that it was difficult that day. We came home, we had dinner, and I was just wiped out. Maybe it was a case of depression, I don't know, but I was just wiped out. I went to bed like 9:30. I took my Bible along with me to read to prepare for today, but I couldn't think anything. I just went to sleep. I all the joy in my life had gone out there, because was this my new normal now, that I will never be able to see distance again? Who knows? I would hope not, and God is in control. I trust Him. But my joy was gone. Now, thankfully, when I woke up on Friday morning, as the scripture says, joy comes in the morning. So I had a new lease on life, so to speak. And I don't know what's going to happen mid-January when I go back. Hopefully the left eye is cleared up and I'll eventually be able to get glasses so I can see. But things that happen in our life cause our joy to be diminished. So, now let's go into the Bible and see how joy was expressed in the scriptures. Now, I'm just going to tell you the story. We're not going to read yet, okay? We're talking about Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, of Israel. He was a joyful young man. He told his brothers all the great dreams he had, and they hated him for it. Those dreams did not, you know, elevated him, Joseph, not them, and they didn't like it at all. What did they do? When they had an opportunity, they sold him into slavery. They got rid of this thorn in the flesh. They didn't want him anymore. Joseph could have been bitter, but we don't read that in the scriptures. We see that he trusted that God had a plan for his life, and that regardless of his circumstances, he was going to do the best he could do, even when God didn't make sense. I envision him being joyful in Potiphar's house, doing the chores that he had to do, but he was joyful in doing them. He wasn't a bitter man saying, "Oh, I got to do this job, and I hate this job." Which, I have to admit, I've heard too many believers say that to their jobs. But that's an aside. And then, after he was doing this job for a year, 2 years, he was thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. Again, he was not bitter. He was joyful in the prison, helping the other prisoners. He became a model prisoner there. And then after he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler, he was hoping to be released. But it didn't happen. He had to wait 2 more years for the Pharaoh to have a dream, and then for them to ask, remember, oh, Joseph interpreted dreams. Let's get him. And he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream. He was then released, and given this awesome responsibility to help Egypt prepare for the coming famine. I'm sure he was joyful in all the work he did there for the Egyptians there. And then about 10 years later, after the famine started, his brothers showed up. I'm sure there was a mixture of sorrow, remembering what happened with his brothers, but also joy, because if you remember, you can go back and read it, there was this great group hug when he finally revealed himself to his brothers. They were also joyful to see each other and recognize each other again. But then, 400 years later, what happened? All of the Israelites became slaves in Egypt. And God had to raise up Moses to be chosen by God to take them out of that oppression and bring them into the promised land. When they left Egypt, there was great joy. They were leaving this God-forsaken place where they were slaves and all the work they had to do. And how many of them died in that slavery? But they were leaving. And even the Egyptians, I think, were joyful that they were leaving because they were being oppressed by all these plagues and things. They were joyful in leaving Egypt, not having an inkling of what they were about to experience in the wilderness. And their joy was shattered when they experienced the wilderness. And just what it meant to live in a place where you were constantly moving and just nothing was there, just wilderness. They even wished that they could go back to Egypt and have the good food, the garlic and the other things that was just so tasty there. Not this manna that God had given them. So their joy was shattered again. Interesting that there's no mention of them remembering that if we were back in Egypt, we'd be slaves again. They just thought about the good things that they had back then. And then the story goes on. As they conquered the promised land, they got distracted from following who God was. And as a result, they all went into exile into other countries. But a remnant returned to Jerusalem 70 years later, and they rebuilt the temple. And I love that story because it says when they rebuilt the temple, there were the older men who were just crying because of what they had just gone through. They remembered the previous temple and the beauty of it and this simple temple that they were now building. But so that there was sorrow, but there was also joy because now they would have a temple again where they could worship God, Jehovah, in this place. And through it all, the prophets continue to preach and teach that a great Redeemer was coming. One of our hymns, our carols, is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heavenly peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And all the Old Testament prophecies of that deliverer that Moses spoke about were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So let's look at Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here were these lonely shepherds out at night taking care of the sheep. They were probably cold, tired, falling asleep at night, probably lonely. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. And it tells that they were sore afraid. I tell you, if I saw an angel, I'm sure I would be sore afraid too. Okay? But what does the angel say? Fear not. Even though what you're seeing is a phenomenal sight, do not fear what you're seeing. There's something behind what you're seeing. And it is good tidings of great joy. Not good tidings of a nice time. Not good tidings of hope you're happy. Great joy. Phenomenal joy. What was this joy? That a child was born. The fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophecies was happening here before them. They were the recipients of what was happening. The Son of God was being born. And how much did they know from the Old Testament prophecies? I'm sure they knew a lot, but nobody knew what Jesus coming would look like. Everybody was surprised by what happened in terms of a little baby born in a manger. That was the Son of God? It didn't make any logical sense. But it said that he was born, he was going to be a Savior, one who would save the people. More people are coming in. And just phenomenal that he would be a Savior, he would be Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This little baby, I'm sure that they didn't, in their minds, they just couldn't figure out what that all meant. But he was the promised one that was coming now for them. And then, if that wasn't strange enough, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. All of a sudden, the sky was full of angels. I mean, full of angels. We read of angels appearing before people in the Old Testament, but nothing, I think, like what this was. I mean, thousands of angels. Those shepherds' eyes were opened that they could see these angels. And what were they doing? Praising God. What a phenomenal sight. What a phenomenal noise. I said I enjoy music, and I really enjoy a good choir singing like we heard last night. And again, it's joyful to watch all these people singing, and I have to admit, only a few had smiles on their faces. They were so busy, you know, singing. But anyway, it's joyful for in my heart to see that. What a sound! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Jesus offers to everyone. This was just the start. And you can read all of the New Testament, see what it all entails. But that was what it was. So, this Christmas time, let us remember what Christmas is all about. It's the coming of Jesus Christ, bringing great joy to all people. All of us. You and me. Everyone. This was what he came for. It was not and is not a temporal joy based on our circumstances. It's a foundational joy based on a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, in spite of our circumstances. In John chapter 15, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He said all of these things, and all of these critical relationship things in terms of us abiding in him and he in abiding in us, so that we could experience his joy. Not partial joy, not a bit of joy, but joy may be full, all-encompassing. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Both this John reference that I read and this Hebrew reference have so many spiritual truths in them, and we could spend a long time looking at them. But that's not the point of today's service. It is focusing on the joy. We need all of those things that these scriptures tell us to experience this joy. And here in Hebrews it says, Jesus was willing to endure the cross because he saw the joy that was beyond the cross. The joy of living, giving his life for his disciples and for you and me, and giving us that joy that we could experience it also. So we need to fix our eyes on Jesus now, at this time of year, but really every day, all the day. And I pray that we can all experience the joy of Jesus. I don't know about you. I think we mentioned in Bible class. I think we all look forward to the time when Jesus comes again. And we see him coming down in the clouds and revealing himself to us, and then be caught up in the air with him, to be with him forever. Talk about joy. Now I have a challenge for us. We need to apply all that we've read in our lives. We need to abide in him. We need to allow his Spirit to live within us and allow that joy to be expressed. Now let me add, we all have different personalities and we express joy in different ways. But I think we need to be more exuberant than I need to be more exuberant than I am typically, because of the joy that is in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart, is what the little kid's song says. We need to be able to show that to those around us. So here's the next challenge. Let's sing number 258. There were shepherds abiding in the fields. 258.
Thank you.
Well, we give thanks to the Lord for the opportunity to be here today, to be able to fellowship one with another, to sing praises like we have just sung, to honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And parenthetically, let me just say thank you, Brother Harry. I'm so glad you gave that hymn. We shouldn't be intimidated by hymns that go beyond one page. We have beautiful hymns in our hymnal, and it was a treat to be able to sing that together. And to sit at God's feet for learning today. How thankful we are to Brother Philip and Brother Harry for bringing God's word to us today. And such an important and timely message about joy. We'll hear the word joy many, many times between now and Christmas, and be tuned in to that because of today's message. And think about what we've learned about joy. Just remember that it's not circumstantial, but it's something that's deep within us, that's given to us because of the relationship that we enjoy with the Son of God. Brother George and Sister Luella, friend, went to England many years ago, and he preached a sermon shortly thereafter, and you might remember his little anecdote. He said that the royal family has various properties in Great Britain. And the way you know if the Queen is in residence is that her flag at that particular property is that the flag is raised over that property. And that's how you know the Queen is in residence. And he went on to say, and how does the world know that Jesus Christ is in residence? Our flag is a flag of joy, is what he said. And so let's remember that and live out that life of Christian joy that is so magnetic and infectious that the world may know that we are his disciples and there's hope in a darkened world. Thank you, brothers, for serving us today. I've asked Brother Floyd to have a prayer, and let's rise. Pray for the lunch as well.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we honor and thank thee, Lord, and thank you so much for giving the joy into our hearts, Lord. And I just want to thank you for all you do. And we pray for those that are less fortunate in the world, Lord. And we especially pray for those that haven't gotten to know your word, Lord. And also today, bless the hands that had prepared the food for lunch, Lord. And we look forward to singing and spreading your word through songs this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much.